And welcome, everybody. This is Cloud Sense. I am your host, Jack Barugian. And, you know, we're going to talk about something that's really special today. You know, something that really hits close to home, and that is this entire world of blockchain. I've got a great guest that's going to come on after the break here in just a couple of minutes. But more importantly, what we're really going to do is really dig into it. Now, look, I say this is near and dear to my heart only because I can see disruptive technologies out there. This is one of them. It's more than a disruptive technology, folks. This is something that is changing the entire landscape of financial services, of regulation. Think about buying a house in 20 years from now, how different it's going to be with a title search, with escrow, and everything else, because you're going to have technology lead us there. You know, it's one of those things that I never saw coming, I'll be honest with you. But this whole idea of creating your own cyber currency, for example, your own ecosystem, is so cool to me. You know what? And more importantly, if you're a company out there that's looking to raise money and you're not doing it by way of the ICO market, guess what? You're probably doing it wrong. You know, and don't take my word for it. Go out there with anybody out there that knows this world, that's raising money, and they'll tell you. And look, back in the old days when I was doing a lot of investing, because now I've kind of limited it as I get older, my appetite for risk seems to have kind of gone down with my age. But back in the old days, you know, there was a lot of stock that I bought at early stages that got diluted and diluted and diluted. And even if the company did well, you know, I ended up doing poorly on it. And it's not because of the fact that it was a bad investment, it's because it got diluted. And I bring that up because that's the difference between this new ICO market out there, where they're only having issued a certain amount of that currency. And, you know, that's so very important. But more importantly, you know, we're talking about, you know, ecosystems that are being developed. And these ecosystems are global in nature. And guess what? You know, that $5 trillion Forex market that's out there right now on a daily basis, and I was president in a Commerce Bank, folks. I'll remind you of that, okay? And I saw the fat, all right, that's in foreign exchange, and it's a lot, all right? Or better yet, how about all the fat that's in every credit card transaction? 3%, folks, all right? When you get to the point where it's peer-to-peer, all of that is gone. This is, folks, the technology that's going to disintermediate the biggest financial services in the world. Now, we're going to take a couple of minutes, and when we come back, we're going to bring on Eric Schlesinger. He's the Chief Growth Officer of Alpha Consulting.
Are you in the market for cloud but wondering where to start or how to get the best value? Looking for help figuring out what you need without telling the same story to 10 different people? UCX is the cloud pricing and procurement marketplace. We quickly and easily help you identify exactly what you need, whether it's custom private cloud, bare metal, or VMs. We put your spec on our platform, where CSPs openly compete to deliver the best price, fit, and term. Save time, money, and find your cloud your way. UCX, cloud buying made easy.
And welcome back, everybody. You know, you heard me saying it before the break about how disruptive this technology is. But you know what? Let's bring in somebody that is right there in the weeds. And I've got Eric Schlesinger with us. He is the Chief Growth Officer from Alpha Consulting. Eric, thanks for joining us here on Cloud Sense.
Thank you so much for having me, Jack.
It's a pleasure to be here. Let's do this. Let's start right away. Tell everybody a little bit about your background and what exactly Alpha Consulting does, and then we'll dig into crypto and blockchain after that.
Sounds great. So I spent the first 10 years of my career at what's now TD Ameritrade, running brokerage services, risk management, and some branch offices, and ultimately really getting involved in the weeds of capital markets and brokerage technology. After moving on from TD, I spent another 10 years at a financial technology firm called Realtek that then became Ez Software Group, which was a company that builds trading, order management, accounting, and other investment management systems. for hedge funds and asset managers and broker dealers and other participants in the capital market industry. So I did a whole lot of things there, but after a 10-year run, I decided it was time to go out on my own. So I started Alpha Consulting to help players in the financial technology and B2B tech and other related sort of companies to horizontally align their strategy, their marketing, sales, and operations so that they can generate more customers and revenue while optimizing their operations and ultimately being able to scale more effectively. And that really came about from some of the jobs that I had had and realizing that a lot of the players in the ecosystem really needed some professional help on the business side to bring their great innovative financial technology or other technology ideas to life.
Well, you know what? That's probably a great segue. Is that only because you're from almost the same type of background I am, financial services, and then when we start talking about crypto and blockchain, either you become a believer or you don't. And you and I know this because we've come across people that are absolutely they are considered to be what I would call anti or Luddites. Basically, when it comes to blockchain. But how did you get into crypto and blockchain?
So that's really funny because I believe the same thing. But I got involved into the blockchain and cryptocurrency world because while I was at a software group, one of my primary responsibilities was to evaluate new market opportunities and to provide our management team and the board recommendations on what new businesses and technology lines we should get into and whether we should build those solutions ourselves or whether we should buy or partner with someone else. So in 2014, I was asked by the company to look at the cryptocurrency market and the blockchain space to see how it might impact our business. And while there wasn't a huge opportunity for us at that time because of both the types of clients we had were a little bit more conservative than the bleeding edge players at the time, and also because of the other priorities we had. It never transpired, but on a regular basis, I was asked to provide updates on blockchain in the crypto space.
Real quick, I just to follow up on a question that I kind of I put out there to people, before the break, and that was, I heard this actually said at a conference once. If you are out there with IP and you're looking to raise money, if you're not looking at the ICO market, you're doing it wrong. Does that make sense to you? Would you agree with that statement?
I think that's a really great question. And I think that it is important to look at all the opportunities for, raising capital if you need to. And certainly using or doing a raise via a coin or a token has benefits if you're an entrepreneur. And whether you do that as a traditional ICO, the way things had been before the regulations had changed, or through a security token, I think that there's a lot of different strengths and benefits of each, just like there are for other raises, like a traditional, Reg A, Reg D, or even a nice IPO.
Well, Eric, that's a great segue into to my next question for you, and that is, having dealt with regulators my entire life, whether it be the NFA, the CFTC, the SEC, and I held just about every license in the world at one time because I had to. But the reality is that this is a world that seems to be very dynamic and changing. What do you see coming from these regulators, and who's going to regulate it, if anybody? Can it be a global regulator, I guess, is the question.
So I think a global regulator is unlikely just simply because you have too many jurisdictions that would have to get together, and this world is changing so quickly that I think it's unlikely that there would be enough momentum to really pull together a global consortium or a group that would be able to pull that off. But I think what's most interesting is the support that the SEC has given the market and also the CFTC with Chairman Giancarlo having backed Bitcoin for a number of years going back, including the approvals for the CME and the Cboe to trade futures contracts on Bitcoin the end of last year. But I think what's more interesting is looking at the support that Chairman Clayton from the SEC is giving to the market and really softly endorsing ICOs as a part of the capital formation process. And by stating that ICOs are securities, it's not necessarily a bad thing, as some of the purists and the zealots have, I guess, been really pushing for anti-regulation in this space. I think what regulation does is it gives trust and credibility to the entire asset class, and it gives legitimacy and also a rule book of how to follow things. So
no,
I think
I want to jump in there real quick and say, as somebody who is an anti-regulation laissez-faire capitalist, I could not agree with you more. Especially when you're talking about, making sure that we limit, or better yet, make sure that we block all of what would be a fraudulent type of ICO or token that hit the market. You know, remember the old days before we were very, very deep into it, the SEC was uncovering, problems on a daily basis with stocks or penny stocks that went up. And the real question is, can we control that, Eric, or will it be controlled? Or are we going to have to go through the same growing pains as the IPO market did over the course of the last 75 years?
I don't necessarily see tokens and coins as being that much different than what any other issued security is. So I think that, thinking about coins and tokens as being just a different type of fundraise and fundamentally a security up front, I think that really creates a situation where this is just a new type of security or new financial instruments that's been created that fits into the existing framework that's already available. So I think that while we're not going to have a hard time now that there's been some clarification that tokens and coins are securities, I think what's going to be more interesting is the migration of coins and tokens that have been issued but haven't been regulated properly over the course of the past 2 or 3 years. And so I think what you were seeing out of the language and the reports that are coming out from the SEC is this really strong guidance to the issuers to bring their issues back into the regulatory framework so that it's not just about the issuance, it's also about the secondary market trading, and that the SEC has the appropriate structure and ability to play the other side. Because you mentioned fraud and manipulation as being, or investor protection being, one of the key missions of the SEC. But it's also to support capital formation, and then finally, it's about maintaining fair and orderly and efficient markets, and making sure that the coins and tokens that exist move into exchanges and ATSs and other traditional mechanisms, so that fraud and manipulation can be managed on an ongoing basis.
Well, here let's take a leap forward here, and let's assume, which I think both of us are believers here, but let's assume that crypto and takes over, and we really see it become an asset class that right up there alongside gold, right up there alongside any other legitimate asset class as perceived by the rest of the market. And I'm going to qualify this by saying that every time I see Jamie Dimon or somebody who has got a lot to lose by being disintermediated by blockchain technology, I usually post it on my LinkedIn site and say, here you go. The people that are going to be losing the most, all right, are the ones that are the biggest naysayers. And I guess, what is your perception of the financial services landscape and the entire industry and how it'll be changed, once we start to see, peer-to-peer processing and the entire network kind of take over?
So, I think that's a great point, is that most of the detractors are people that have a lot to lose from the system, but that's not too dissimilar from what we saw and what we heard when I was at TD back in the mid-90s as online trading was coming about, where you had traditional broker-dealers, including, the folks like Jamie Dimon and the other big banks and brokerage firms that had brokerage operations with really wide margins on their brokerage businesses, and they didn't want to see the disruption that was in place. But what I really think is likely to happen is we're going to see the same molding. Right now, the infrastructure is incredibly mature. And what we're seeing is the opportunity for the tech innovators and the financial market innovators, particularly here in Chicago, where, you know, you and I are both from, really getting into the game and helping with, you know, step one, which is setting up that infrastructure and the trading and activities and environment, and really pushing and challenging, you know, the regulators. But what's ultimately going to happen over time is you're going to start to see that as both the capital markets become more mature and the market structure becomes more mature, and also as the technology becomes more mature, you're likely to see a lot of consolidation in the industry, much like we did in the online trading world. So you're going to see the banks and the brokers and others start to absorb both the technology and also the you know, the trading activities and some of the, you know, other things that go along with that, and start to migrate that in, but using that as ways to continue to evolve and to continue to improve the processing of what they're doing in an organized, methodical manner. And so a lot of people, you know, talk about how cryptocurrencies are going to completely disrupt the world. And I think that we're likely to see much more of an evolution that's going to take, you know, an extended period of time, and whether that's 20 or 30 years, like what we've seen in the internet, as the internet has started to evolve, it's going to have a drastic impact on the world. But I think it's likely to take a little bit longer than what most people realize, both because the technology is far less mature than what the internet was when we really started to see widespread activity, largely because the internet was funded for decades by the Department of Defense before it went out into private hands. And, you know, what we're really seeing is this technology that, for the most part, you know, while Bitcoin, you know, has been around for right at a decade now, most of the rest of the technology is only 2 to 3 to 5 years old. So I would say we're still in the first inning of the evolution. And I think the disruptive capabilities in the short term are probably overstated by a lot of players. But I do think that the long-term potential is, just as great, if not greater, than what the opportunities that the internet provided. And that's where I think that we could be going.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. All I know is that Visa is worth $300 billion quietly because they charge 3% on everything that we're doing. And one day I'd love to see that gone, to be honest with you. But you know, just to kind of finish it out here, you know, what do you see going forward? And where do you see us going in another 5 or 10 years? And do you see a vision? Does Eric Schlesinger see a vision in 10 years time that nobody else is really talking about?
So I don't know that the vision is a vision that nobody is really talking about, with the exception of, I think that it's probably going to fit in the sweet spot of where a lot of people think things are going to really be disrupted really, really quickly, or you know, that there's not going to be much potential. I think it's a little bit in the middle. I think what we're going to see for the next probably 2 to 3, maybe even 4 to 5 years, is the continued build out of the ecosystem and the infrastructure, very much like what we saw in the internet days, where it took the telcos, 5 to 7 to 10 years to build out all the underlying infrastructure for the internet. And that infrastructure is both on the technology side for blockchain, and then also the separation of the capital markets and ICOs as a funding vehicle and becoming a legitimate traded instrument. Or, you know, I don't know in my mind whether I think this is a different asset class or just a different instrument type, because you still, you know, I think I see this as more of an equity derivative, if you will, rather than a brand new asset class for ICOs. And then I also see, you know, some of the coins like Bitcoin and Litecoin and others that are payment vehicles or mechanisms really being, cash alternatives or digital representations of an individual currency. So I think what we're going to see is 3 to 5 years of continued infrastructure build out. We're legitimizing the whole technology and asset class as an industry. And then I think we're going to see far more interesting new economy business models, much like what we had coming out of the internet days with things like e-commerce platforms and the way that that, transformed the world. But I think that that's a little further down the line, probably a little closer to 5 to 7 years before we're really going to start to see that take off.
No, good stuff, Eric. Again, I think that's probably a perfect place to end it. You've been listening to Eric Schlesinger. Again, he's the Chief Growth Officer for Alpha Consulting. And Eric, I want to thank you for joining us today. This has been great. Hey, you've been listening to.
Thank you for having me. Yeah,
Oh,
it's
you know what?
Fantastic.
It's one of the things, as I've said right as I was introducing you before the break, how close this is to my heart, because I love this stuff more than I can begin to tell anybody, and having you talking about it is just getting me all excited. But anyway, you've been listening to Cloud Sense. My name is Jack Barugian. I'll be talking to you soon.